May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please take your seats? Well, good morning, everybody. How lovely to see so many of you here today as we gather together for this final time. I'd like to begin by telling you of a church I heard about. This church, when their curate had been with them for a year and she was called what's called priested, the church gave her a special gift, a tattoo of their church building on her arm. I am so pleased, dear Hambledon Valley people, that you did not give me such a gift as I came as a curate. As much as I love you, having each of your six churches tattooed on my arms and my legs would, I think, have been a step too far. But when we come to endings, which also lead to new beginnings, these are times of change as we draw things to a close and prepare to step out into the unknown. And that is perhaps where many of us are this morning. These are times when it's good to take time to reflect. These are times when it is helpful to seek the seam of God's presence in where we have been and to trust that he walks before us on the path ahead. One of my favourite passages in the Bible, one that helps me to reflect, is the Bible story we've heard just now, known as the Prodigal Son. It's a story of beginnings and endings and change. And I think if we only had one passage from the whole Bible, this one, for me, would sum up the story of God's love. This part of the story tells of the younger son who demands his inheritance early, before his father has even died, which would have been disrespectful and deeply hurtful in any culture, but particularly so in first century Palestine. The younger son takes his share of the money and heads off to the bright lights in a distant land, in perhaps what would have been the first century equivalent of a Porsche. The prodigal son seems to be ending his traditional family relationships, and everyone is immediately plunged into change. However, at the same time, although he may not have realized it, by stepping out into the unknown, the son is beginning his journey, stepping into the story of God. Dutch priest Henry Nouwen, who lived in the last century, was deeply drawn by this passage of the prodigal son and also by the interpretation of this story as painted by his fellow Dutchman artist Rembrandt, which you can see on the back of your orders of service. Henry was at a point of change in his own life, feeling anxious and vulnerable, alone, the way many of us may feel as we encounter endings and change. So he decided to spend time reflecting on the story of the prodigal son in the presence of this huge 17th century painting, 8 feet high and 6 feet wide, where it hangs in the Hermitage Art Gallery in St. Petersburg. Well, as priests, we are encouraged to reflect, and one of the things that I had cause to reflect upon frequently, for a number of reasons, is the huge puddle that gathers and entirely and spectacularly covers the end of the vicarage drive every time it rains. Water pours down the hill from Christmas Common, bringing mud and silt, which gathers in water and sits, cutting off access to the vicarage, except by car or by getting very muddy feet. Well, as you may know, Turville is well known for the filming of The Vicar of Dibley. And a few years ago, Dawn French, the original Vicar of Dibley, came back to Turville to make a series of short programmes. She used the vicarage as a green room to change in and to get ready to be on set in Turville Church. When the time came for Dawn to go down to the church, one of the assistants said, "Miss French, your car is here." Dawn was puzzled why she needed a car to get to the church, which was a mere 50 metres away. Well, they explained, it rained heavily in the night and there is a large puddle at the end of the drive. Dawn, well known for the big puddle into which she disappears in one of her episodes, replied, of course there is. So Dawn was whisked the 50 metres down to the church in the limousine, keeping her feet dry, while the hairdressers and makeup artists had to risk walking the plank that Mark had hastily laid down across the vicarage puddle to avoid muddy feet. When we come to points of change in our lives, as we are here in the Hambledon Valley, as Henry Nouwen was in reflecting on the painting, there is risk and challenge involved, and there is also opportunity. Sometimes as endings come and as we face the opportunity of new beginnings, God sometimes nudges us to step out of our comfort zones, walking the plank and maybe getting a bit muddy along the way, but also inviting us to step out, to look at a bigger picture or a different picture, and to become part of the story of God in that place. The boy we call the prodigal son is about to get his feet very muddy, but in the meantime, he continues his journey of wild living, spending money like there's no tomorrow, until, of course, it runs out. As the money runs out, so do his newly found friends, and he finds himself in a distant place with no money, no food, feeding the pigs in their sties, where his feet would be really muddy. However, we begin to see the prodigal son's perspective on life changing. He's lost everything, including his hopes and his dreams. He's not feeling good about himself, perhaps plagued by doubts, failure, and feeling vulnerable. And yet, we are always on a journey. We don't come fully formed. We often grow by learning, by getting messy and muddy. As our dear priest Jeremy Mays used to say, we are always becoming. There may be times of change when we feel vulnerable, scarred, scared. During a particular season, I was feeling very small, looked down upon and insignificant in ministry. One Sunday morning, I was at the altar here in this church, preparing to pray the prayer to bless the bread and the wine. As I poured the wine in the chalice, the wide silver cup that we use, recalling that the wine represents Jesus' blood that was poured out in his love for us when he died on the cross, I suddenly realized that I could see in the wine the reflection of the stained glass window behind the altar. Jesus on the cross was reflected in the wine. It took my breath away. But when I spoke to others about this reflection that had moved me so much, no one had ever noticed it. And then I realized you had to be my height to see it. In the midst of my struggles and my vulnerability, my sense of smallness, God had given me a gift, and that reflection changed my perspective. As you come forward today to receive bread and wine or a blessing, take a moment to look at the stained glass window above the altar, but also to look at the chalice, even if you just look at the base of it, and you will see your own reflection. It may not look how you expect it to look, but I invite you to allow God to change your perspective and to begin to see yourself with God's eyes. In the painting, we can see that the boy's feet are scarred from working and walking miles in inadequate footwear. This was part of his becoming, his formation, his journey with God, and it changed his perspective. And so the boy decides to return to his father and to ask for his forgiveness. But the father, all the time that the son has been away, has been actively waiting for him to return, daily scanning the horizon for him. And those beautiful words are, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. when our children were young, as Mark was in the Royal Air Force, we lived on an RAF camp in Germany. It was quite common for dads, and it was dads in those days, to be away for long stretches of time. While we were there, a family moved in nearby. The mum had heroically moved herself, her two children, Michael 6 and Catherine 4, a horse, a dog and two cats from England to Germany while her husband was away on detachment in the Falkland Islands for 4 months. Children were not frequently told the exact dates their dads were coming home, as flights could be and often were delayed, or there were logistical hiccups, so this avoided disappointment. But one day, when I was standing at the school gate, there was a man I didn't recognise, still in his camouflage kit, looking as though he had just stepped off the plane. His eyes were fixed on the school doors, scanning the faces of the children as they came down the steps and into the playground. As Michael appeared at the top of the steps, he looked across the playground, and there was his dad, whom he'd not seen for months, his arms wide open, ready and waiting to greet him. And just like the father in the Bible story, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. There was not a dry eye in the playground that day. This is the kind of picture that speaks to me of this parable. The prodigal son is met by the father who reveals the boundlessness and abundance of God's compassionate and forgiving love, who cannot wait for his son to arrive home, but rushes to embrace him, delighting in him, rejoicing over him and his return, as he does over each one of us when we turn to him, even in a very tiny way. The scene helps us to recall Jesus' invitation that Bertie read to us this morning. Come to me, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Which brings us to the final scene in this story of change, the complete picture. Here we see how Rembrandt has used warm, rich reds in the father's clothes, and we see the father's arms echoing God's arms, encircling the boy in a loving embrace, no matter what he or we may have done. I wonder, as we look ahead to change and new beginnings, do we dare kneel down like the prodigal son and allow ourselves to be held by a loving God? Well, reflecting on this story of change has helped me to step back and to see the story of God's bigger picture and to look at my own story. I've had the immense privilege of being part of the story of these 6 ancient churches with their prayer-soaked walls. I've had the privilege of being one in a very long line of priests in this place, stretching back to the 13th century, and which, I pray, will stretch forward centuries into the future. I've had the privilege of being shaped and formed by all of you from whom I have learnt so much. You have shaped this former Essex girl, although please do not ever put me in a field of cows. And I've had the privilege of working with Andy these last 2 years, of having the support of Mark and my 4 daughters and their families, without whom I could not have begun to fulfil this ministry. I may not have your 6 churches tattooed on my arms and legs, but you are always tattooed on my heart. May God bless you.